BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sci-fi,
whoa,
anime,
whoa,
video games,
whoa,
comic books.
Whoa.
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
This is Nerd Radio.
Excellent.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, and of course, on our social media at Nerd Radio 101. Albeck!
Yes!
And Chuck Bean.
Charles Bean, how
are you? That's right.
Yes.
The main two, the stalwarts.
The main two. All right.
Of the number two.
Number two. Yeah, I went with... You know, who is number two or whatever, the new number two.
Yeah.
And also, who does number two work
for? Who does number two work for?
Both of them popped into my head at the same time, and they collided.
Absolutely.
And I didn't get either quote right.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Who are you?
Yeah,
the new number two.
This week, we're going to be going pretty hard in the video game. Going to have James in, because I know he just got Fallout 76,
mm-hmm,
and he's got some thoughts and feelings
about
that.
Oh, he's got a lot of feelings about that.
We're going to talk about some Red Dead Redemption with Kenny, and then Kyle's got a new card game that he's telling me about, so I'm looking forward to that. He texted me last night and told me about it.
A lot of games this week.
That's what I said. It's a big game.
A lot of
week.
Games.
And I did
Which
also...
Which is why I won't be on most of the show, because I am useless. I mean, I...
You play some games, but...
Well, here's the thing, okay? I would love to come in here and have that discussion with you guys about Red Dead Redemption.
Right.
All right? We all know that the first one is my favorite video game.
That's true.
We know that for years, I have been sitting on this show talking about how excited I am for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Right.
And I've barely played it.
Yeah,
now,
well,
it's not that I haven't enjoyed it or anything. I just have not had the time to really sit down and sink my teeth into it.
We have, for different reasons, we have both... only scratch the surface of Red Dead Redemption 2. For me, it was every time I went to YumaCon a couple of weeks ago, and every time I go to YumaCon, I reminded A, that I should watch more anime,
mm-hmm,
because I pay like $8 a month for an anime streaming service, and I almost never use it. And I'm also always reminded B, that I had started a game from the Persona series and not finished it, and I really should. So I put Red Dead Redemption to the side so I could try and finish this Persona 5 game that I've been playing for about a year now. We'll talk about some Red Dead Redemption later on.
Yeah, I know we will. By the time they announce the third one, I will have played half of it.
Right.
And I will have a reasonable review to give.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems only fitting. I didn't even play the first one until it had been out for a number of years.
But it's also fascinating if a game is, you know, like they call it a AAA game. If a game is that good... It almost does not matter when you get to it.
Oh, yeah,
it's
that's true.
It's still fascinating. I ran into that this year with when I got my Switch. Like, I got the Switch about a year after it came out.
Yeah.
Both Mario and Zelda had been out since pretty much launch, but, you know, just getting to play them this summer and going, oh, my God, this is great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get to it. I mean, I've had stuff going on, most of it all good stuff, so it's not like I'm sitting there like, man, like, if I only...
Right.
Didn't have this going on, I could go play a video game. Like, no, I'm fine. I'm good with
life is busy, but it's also fun.
It's been good. It's been really good. But
right.
I just haven't had time to play with a digital horse.
Well, as you guys can probably hear, my throat is a little shredded this week.
Yeah. Shredded.
I didn't get the con crud, at least not that I know of, but there has been some virus flu cold stuff going around, and
it's been going around the radio station too.
I know.
I just had it.
Yeah, and
we were talking about it.
Not accusing.
Yeah. Well,
however,
it may have been. It may have been. That's the thing. You know, I think that Jason was the one who got me sick, and he's like, "Oh,
okay.
Sorry, dude."
Yeah, because you guys are in the same room.
Yeah, we share an office, he and I, and it's a very small office.
Right.
So we're near each other, and so he was all apologetic. It's like, what are you going to do? What are you supposed to stop coming to work?
Right.
I mean, I guess that's why they have sick days. It's not so you can sit at home and pamper yourself. It's so you don't get everyone else at work sick.
Right.
But when it's a cold, dude, like they don't.
There's nothing you can do about
it. There's
cold.
Nothing you can do about it, and they don't get better.
Yeah.
I still have a cold from 1989. You know what I mean? Like, they don't go away. They just don't.
That's Amy's the same way because she had something for a couple of weeks. Like before we went to YumaCon, she started to feel sick. And she's just coming off it. But whenever, you know, she hears me coughing or something like that or blowing my nose, she's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, dude, it's not, I don't know where it came from. It's a cold. It happens.
What are you going to do?
I can't remember who it was, but I think it was somebody on my Facebook said something about they believe that the flu virus comes back every winter because it's hiding in somebody's coat in the tissues that you left in your coat last winter.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting.
But you gave me an amazing tip.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I made a joke that I still have a cold from 1989. They never get better. I did something starting a few years ago, and I can usually knock it out in less than a week. And I've got still some lingering. Once in a while, I got a little bit of a sniffle. I had a little bit of a cough here and there. But for the most part, I feel pretty good. And so mostly I feel pretty good. But when I start feeling a little bit sick, maybe a little bit of a scratchy throat or whatever, I go buy a jug of cranberry juice.
Right.
And I carry it around with me. I'll drink right out of it, make sure I drink a full jug a day. And then
the entire jug
I'll drink the whole thing. Oof. I'll drink the whole thing. Oof. And the reason I go cranberry, most people think, drink orange juice.
That's where I usually go.
Now, this may be, I will admit this, it may be a placebo effect, so don't you tell me if I'm wrong, because it works for me, all right? But I have heard that cranberries are actually higher in vitamin C content than orange juice. It's just orange juice is associated with it, and it's also got a lot of antioxidants and stuff, so I'll drink the crap out of some cranberry juice when I get a cold, and I'll take like Airborne and stuff like that. So it might be the zinc in the Airborne that's actually curing me and not the cranberry juice. But dude, I've been doing that for years, and
I tried it over the weekend, and I gotta say I felt a lot better.
That's how I knew
I was drinking it.
That's how I knew that you got sick. I came into work on Monday morning. You had done the overnight. I'm coming in for the morning show, and I saw a jug of cranberry juice. I said, oh no, you got the gunk. Chuck's dying. Oh God.
Certainly hope not. But yeah, so like I said, voice is a little shredded, so hopefully you guys already are accustomed to the sound of my voice and are not too thrown by my scratchiness this week. Let's talk.
Mine's just as annoying as ever. Just here with uninformed thoughts.
Let's talk some nerd stuff.
And nonsense.
A couple of weeks ago, Disney announced their streaming service. Not an official date, but a little bit about what we can expect from it.
Okay.
It's going to be called Disney Plus. They're going to be...
Really? They workshopped that, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Look at me going after Disney.
They've already announced they're going to have...
I'm sorry.
They're going to have two different Star Wars shows on there. One's called The Mandalorian, and Carl Weathers is going to be in part of that show.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fascinating. Apollo Creed in there.
That bums me out, man. I kind of wanted to see that Mandalorian show, but I'm not getting the Disney service. And
no?
This is not going to go like CBS All Access.
There's a prequel series to Rogue One where they're going to follow Cassian.
Mm-hmm.
Cassian Andor around. Mm-hmm. It's going to be cool. And then on the Marvel side, there's going to be a Loki series with Tom Hiddleston in it. They're also talking about doing Bucky and Falcon series, getting Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan.
God.
Maybe a Scarlet Witch series.
I must be a miserable bastard because none of this is selling me.
All
none
right.
of it.
Well, hopefully
the
you guys
Star
at home.
Wars stuff more so.
Than the Marvel stuff?
Than the Marvel stuff, which is weird because I haven't been crazy about, like, Last Jedi I didn't like.
Yeah.
Solo was passable, but, I mean, I really didn't need it, you know? But the Marvel stuff's been all good. I just fell behind. But the way it is on Netflix, like I've said before, I'm out. It's just, it's too much. I don't care anymore. And
I'm more interested in, you know, it's cool that they're going to make all these new things. But at the same time, are you going to, like, how much of the old stuff is going to be archived in there? Like, are they going to have all the old Disney cartoon movies? Are they going to have the stuff they used to play on TV on Sunday nights?
Okay, I remember when they used to open the vault.
Right.
Yeah, shut up.
That stuff. Or, you know, are they going to, is DuckTales and Darkwing Duck going to be on there?
DuckTales.
Woo! See, you're not totally without joy.
I'm not going to get a streaming service for DuckTales. No? It's just a pleasant childhood memory.
Well, here's the thing. You guys know Mike Pandolf. He's been on the show quite a few times. He had to text me over the weekend when he saw this bit of news. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. renewed not only for a season 6, but a season 7 as well.
I didn't know it was still around.
Who watches this show?
I don't know. I stopped in season 2, or was it 3? You're out, Kenny?
Yeah, Kenny's
in here getting ready for the next segment. So you're out on that too? Agent Shield? You can speak. You can use your words. It's a podcast.
He's respecting the fact that he wasn't officially introduced.
Well, that's okay. I will tell Kenny, I'll make this brief because we've talked about it on the show before. What happened to me with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it was when Civil War?
Yeah.
Came.
It was Captain America.
Yeah, it was Captain America.
It was the Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier, thank you. Yep. So Winter Soldier comes out, and then I do happen to see it opening weekend. Went and saw it on the Sunday of opening weekend, and then Tuesday rolls around, the next episode of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then so I watch it on my DVR on Wednesday, and I put it on, and I'm sitting there watching it. And I'm a few minutes into the episode, and I kind of realize that they're talking about Hydra and stuff with, Nick Fury and all this stuff. And it all of a sudden hits me, like, wait a minute. This is all directly related to the Winter Soldier. Like, are you kidding me? Not only I have to go see your movie in order to know what's going on, I had to see it opening weekend in order to watch a new episode of your show. Go F yourself. Are you kidding me? Are you insane? You need to know. I'm out. And I stopped it right there, deleted it, canceled the recording on my DVR. I said, no, if you don't get to monopolize my time like that, Marvel, I'm going to go read my Deadpool comic now.
It may be a rehash of an old Al Beck rant, but it's always good. It's not a Nerd Radio without an Al Beck rant.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, I'm a very... I don't enjoy things. This show is a celebration of joy,
right?
And things that that bring us happiness. And I have none of that in my life. I'm here to poo-poo it all.
Right. That's why we've kind of, like, I'm sure you guys listening have noticed that we've kind of changed the format, and I'll throw these headlines at you and stuff like that, because it's kind of like the Al Beck dartboard now. Like, I'm just throwing darts at the wall to see if I can hit a joy spot.
No. No. We just talked about Red Dead Redemption 2, the fact that I haven't played it, and that's my favorite game. I want to play it. I just have no joy.
Here's something I know that brings you joy: Star Trek.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
And here's another thing: just with all the Disney shows that you just talked about, and how I'm out on Marvel.
Right.
I'm afraid that's going to happen to Star Trek.
You're afraid there's going to be too much Star Trek?
I'm afraid there's going to be too much Star Trek, because Discovery, I do enjoy it. I think it's great. I'm on my pilgrimage still to watch everything in sequence.
Right.
And then I take deviations from that because I still love the original series, and I go back and watch that or old TNG episodes. But I'm afraid, we've got the Discovery, we've got confirmed, we've got the Picard show.
Yeah.
Well, is it going to get to a point where we don't get a break and I'm not wanting new Star Trek? Because I don't want that to happen.
That is a Pandora's box we need to put a pin in and talk about next week.
Okay.
Because that's something
I can still be angry next week.
Okay, cool.
There's a guarantee that I will be moody next week.
All right. Well,
that's a Nerd Radio promise for you.
I'm not going to tell you about Star Trek then. I'm going to hold that until next week, because that'll remind us to talk about what's in my brain right now.
Well, make a note, because we don't remember jack crap.
That's true. Very true. I'll put it in the Google document.
Okay.
So
well, that means you'll know it.
Right. Exactly.
I'll have access, but you'll see it.
But I'll be the one that sees it.
Terrible co-host.
All right. What else do I have? Going back to Star Wars. Mark Hamill tweeted over the weekend, another Twitter called Famous Monsters, said, "Happy Star Wars Saturday. The Star Wars Holiday Special aired this day 40 years ago.
Oh, no, really?
Have you seen it?" And Mark Hamill responded with, "Not all the way through." Even Mark Hamill
is trolling the holiday special.
Couldn't get through the Star Wars Holiday Special from way back in the day.
Oh,
so
I've never seen it.
And that thing is like back when bootleg video cassettes were a thing at Comic Con or something like that. Like that was every bootlegger had that.
It's got to be on the internet.
I've never seen it.
It's got to be on the internet somewhere. But
one of these days, I got to see it because it's one of those. It's like a train wreck. Like I got to know how bad it is.
Yeah. It's legendary how terrible it is.
The big news this week, though, and I don't know if you want to touch on this, Bill Maher. Do you hear about this?
Oh, vaguely.
Yeah, Bill Maher in his blog post after Stan Lee passed away last week.
Yes,
said something about like deep mourning for a man who inspired millions to watch a movie, I guess.
Yeah, he made some comment about books for children or something like
He said something about I don't think it's a huge stretch to suggest Donald Trump could only get elected in a country that thinks comic books are important.
Yeah.
And, most of the comic book community, lots of comic book writers and artists tweeting back to him about how irrelevant he kind of is.
You know what? That doesn't really bother me because it's like what he says doesn't really do any harm at all. And he's a comedian.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got a lot of strong opinions.
Right. It's one of those things like, is he being serious or is he doing his shtick? Is this part of his act?
You
just
know,
to try
even,
and rile
even,
you up.
Even if he is being serious, it's supposed to be humor and that's the way he's approaching it. And again, he's not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
And like I said, even his opinion, I mean, his opinion, that's the whole point of his show is he follows politics and he's like really harsh.
And
has these strong opinions. And he's a guy, I don't watch Bill Maher because even when I agree with him, I'm like, dude, like, calm down.
Right.
You know, because I feel like you get into these, you know, I don't want to get into whole politics stuff, but as
right,
divisive as everything is.
He's very black and white when it comes to his opinions.
Right.
His opinion is right and yours is wrong.
And that's
definitely not something I personally.
I feel like that's part of the problem personally, because
right.
even when he's making a point that I agree with, I'm going, yeah, that's cool and all, but all you're doing is angering the other side of the argument and you're not accomplishing anything. All you're doing is getting people who already agree with you to agree with you harder. You're not changing anything.
Right.
But the point of him and his show and everything else is comedy. It's supposed to be, you know, it's satire and it's, you know, dressed up
right.
in humor. So yeah, it's not like he was really trashing even Stan Lee or anything like that. He was kind of trashing comic books and whatever,
yeah.
You know, is that the first time we've been made fun of for reading comics, Chuck?
Certainly not.
Certainly not. No,
certainly not.
No. No.
However, it was very heartwarming to see a whole bunch of, like you said, comic book people on Twitter kind of take him to task on it. The best one, I think everyone universally agrees, is Neil Gaiman said something along the lines of more people cared about Stan Lee's death than care about Bill Maher while he's alive. So,
you know what? On the other side of that argument, that could seem pretty goddamn harsh. It really could.
But, oh, sure.
But it's dressed up in humor. And I don't know, man. I'm a big fan of comedy and a big fan of humor. So I tend to, even when I don't like a joke, as long as it's really not hurting anybody.
Long as at the end of the day we can, you know, the camera shut off, the mic shut off, we can look at each other and be like, that was harsh, but all right.
Yeah, I try to stand up for comedy.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, if you have...
it's my one cause that I champion.
Right. If you have some heavy, heavy thoughts about Bill Maher, we encourage you to not send them to us, but send them to Bill Maher.
Yeah, just sending it to us is not going to do anything.
We're not going to forward it to Bill Maher. Right?
No! we'll forward it. He's not gonna see it.
No, he's not. Hey, maybe we can get some you remember a couple of months ago when me and Jefferson were talking about getting taken down by Drew Carey?
Oh yeah.
Maybe we can.
So we've gone after so you guys, you pick on Bill Maher, he picks on Drew Carey, I go after Disney.
Yeah,
I'm an idiot.
Join us next week or don't. Between Disney, Bill Maher, and Drew Carey, we might not be here.
Yeah. Nerd Radio. Join us or don't.
Or don't. All right, we're coming back in just a minute. We're going to talk some Red Dead Redemption.
Oh,
and we'll talk to you next week, Mr. Albeck.
Train wreck. All right, see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Ah!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The name's Nukem, Duke Nukem. You know I've got balls of steel. I wouldn't be saying that unless I was here on Nerd Radio, because they've got balls of steel too. Hail to the Nerd Radio, baby.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio on the podcast page, wherever you get your podcasts, or on iTunes. It is Chuck Bean hanging out with you. You can always hit us up on our social media at Nerd Radio 101. As I was saying earlier, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of games this week. That means I got James from Dave Chuck the Freak Show in again.
What's up?
Good
talking
to see
some video games, man. Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me in again.
Absolutely. And Kenny.
What up?
Returning from us, kind of our games guru is, you're the manager at GameStop, aren't you?
Yeah. I just got transferred back to my old GameStop, which I got a nice, good, warm welcoming.
Yeah.
And then it felt good being there, not having to stress like I was at the other store.
Right.
So now I'm just like, ooh, all right, I like this.
Well, we're in the middle of our holiday week, like, Black Friday being a huge retail thing. Like, are you dreading having to work Black Friday?
I don't have to work Black Friday, so
nice.
Not really, but we started our sale, our pre-Black Friday sale on Sunday.
I saw a friend tweet something about getting the Spider-Man PS4
yeah.
for like a hot deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then they're doing that same deal for Black Friday, but you get a $50 gift card too. That's with all the systems. So PS4, Xbox, and the Switch.
Right.
So the Switch, there's no deal. You're still paying the $300.
Right.
And all that fun stuff. But yeah, they got a lot of good stuff going on. Especially game-wise, too.
Well, I know over the weekend I saw you tweeting out a couple of things, James, that you picked up the game that you've been waiting for. Which
Fallout 76. Been waiting for a while for this one. And
you apparently had to wait a little bit longer when you got it.
Yeah, immediately met with disappointment. You buy the disc, you put it in your system, and what happens? You get a blue screen.
Oh.
A blue screen.
A blue screen. And now you're playing on what, Xbox
One?
On
the Xbox One, yeah.
Okay.
And, I put it in.
Getting a blue screen on a console system, that doesn't sound like something I've seen yet.
No, yeah, it's crazy.
Up to now. It's typically a PC thing.
Yeah, it's a glitch that I don't think Bethesda had in the works or had any deal or problems with during the beta and all that stuff. Like, literally, I could put the game in. I'm in the vault. You know, and then this game, they don't have you hanging around the vault too much. Usually there's like things for you to do, people to interact with, but it's just you and a bunch of the robots that are like telling you, get the hell out of the vault.
Okay.
You got to get out of the vault. Go here to get out of the vault. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow instructions. Then I go to get out of the vault and it loads with a blue screen.
I would have hated to be at your house for that one.
Oh, I was not happy because I dropped $60 on the game, $30 on the strategy guide, and I'm in $100, and it took me 2 days to actually get the game to load. I don't know how many times I've installed and uninstalled the game to get it to work, and none of those things actually worked. All I actually had to do was just create a whole new character. I feel like if I had done that from the start, I wouldn't have had any of the drama.
You wouldn't have had to uninstall and reinstall the game.
Yeah, like 5 times. Do you know how long it takes to install the game? At least an hour. An hour to sometimes more, depending on how fast my internet is. And, if I'm killing time while the install is by perusing some of my favorite adult-themed websites, there's going to be a little more time on the install. But we finally got installed, so I no longer want to go take a dump on Bethesda's front door as a revenge act for making me wait 48 hours to actually play the game.
Right. So now that you've actually gotten to play the game, you've put all that behind you.
Yeah.
And now you're happy again.
Yeah, I'm happy. The game's very challenging. I'll say that is very challenging. And I'm only about 4 or 5 hours into the game, and I like it. I enjoy it. A lot of people are saying the people on the Xbox Live, they're not friendly. Nobody talks to each other. Nobody wants to help each other out. I've experienced the exact opposite.
Okay.
But I've realized the 2 times that I've played, I've been playing while I'm on my Twitch stream. So people that follow my Twitch stream realize who I am.
Right, play with you.
And then they go into the game. And then they come up to me, and then like they're helping me out, they're doing all this stuff, and I'm thinking it's just strangers. I'm like, I'm surviving in the wasteland on the kindness of all these strangers, and they're like, hey, by the way, I love you on David Chuck the Freak. I'm like, I'm like, damn, I thought it was just a random dude. I'm like so happy. I'm like, I'm so happy about the world. Like, people are so much nicer than what we give them credit for. And it's like it's David Chuck the Freak fanboys, which I'm not upset about. And I appreciate the help, guys. You know, thank you for those plans for all those things I haven't built yet and the stim packs and all that good stuff. But I think the game's cool. Like, I've already had a cool encounter with some of, some friends that I played online. We found the Wise Mothman,
which
I don't really know if he actually did anything.
Like, he's that wise.
Yeah, just some giant moth like shows up and flaps his wings at you, and you say you feel enlightened in his presence, but I have no idea if it gave me any kind of
it does anything.
Yeah,
game
like,
wise,
does it do anything? I don't know. It was cool. You know, we killed a bunch of fireflies and some rad toads, which looks like a big toad with a bunch of female body parts as eyeballs all over its body. It's weird looking.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's like a mutated like toad, and they're like huge. But we killed all those guys to get some bioluminescent fluid that you have to put into a lighthouse. There's a tip for anybody who's playing Fallout 76, how to get that going. And then, once you fill it up with 50 units of bioluminescent fluid or whatever you find in those fireflies, the Mothman flies out and flaps his wings in your face. And I mean, I don't know, it's cool.
You get an achievement for it or something like that?
Yeah, no achievement. I'm assuming there might be an achievement if you actually kill. There's a few different Mothmen like in the game.
Okay.
And I know there's a couple that you actually fight. And I'm assuming you probably get something if you fight and kill them. But I haven't gotten that far. I'm still running around with like broken rakes and whatever else to fight the enemies. I think I have a pool cue wrapped in barbed wire. That's what I'm using to beat off their zombies, and not in that kind of way. But actually, they're technically not zombies. They're like the scorched beings, like humans that were there during the nuclear fallout that are now.
Right.
They're still, they have some mind left, but they shoot guns at you. So it's weird because you're like, hey, it's a ghoul, or oh, it's a zombie. I'm going to go beat them up.
Like Land of the Dead.
Yeah, but yeah. Then all
they
of a sudden,
also know what they were doing.
Yeah, then all of a sudden they pull out a gun and start shooting at you. I'm like, what the hell is this?
What the heck?
So, but yeah, game's fun, but it is very lonely. They definitely captured that, like, you're alone in, you know, the fallout after a nuclear fallout, and
right,
you have to survive.
Well, I know in previous Fallout games, they'll give you, like, companions.
They
can hang out with you. And I remember when the trailer for this was coming out, you can get a dog, right?
That was the last Fallout.
Yeah, I think
Fallout
4.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, I've had dog meat in Fallout 3, and I think, I don't know if they had the name dog meat in Fallout 4, but you get the dog, like, almost immediately in Fallout 4.
Yeah.
And this one, I think you're rolling solo unless you find, like, a friend or you befriend people out in Wasteland that are also playing on Xbox Live.
Interesting that they decided to go that route.
Yeah, which actually, I don't mind. I think they, from what I've read, I understand the reason why there's not very many like non-player characters in the game is memory and that kind of stuff. So everything that you get quest-wise is usually like holotapes that you find or different clues and notes that you find. That's what puts you in the direction where you need to go during your quests, as opposed to like finding some chick in Megaton who's like, I need you to go do this, this, and this, and I'm going to give you that. Like now you're kind of tracing footsteps of people who've already kind of gone out and ventured out and tried to start some things in the Wasteland.
Right. Well, the other big game, I don't know if you've checked it out yet, but the other big game for this holiday season is Red Dead Redemption.
Yes.
The sequel to Red Dead Redemption 2. And Kenny, I know you've been playing the heck out of this game.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of was busy a little bit during the week, but I finally got some off time, started playing some more of it yesterday, and finally in chapter 4, so I'm in the big city of St. Demas.
Okay.
And it's a big city. Like, anything can happen. I've already had little bastard kids rob me.
Right.
And you robbed my kids?
Yeah. Just little like kids, in, you know, all those movies. And
rascals.
I stumbled upon something that sent me in an email for, like, the 5 strangest things you can encounter, like the creepiest things you can encounter in Red Dead.
Okay.
So far.
Besides the horse nuts?
Yeah, we started seeing those the whole time.
Yeah, they shrivel up and expand.
I haven't gotten to the shrivel up part.
You're not paying attention to the right parts, Kenny.
I'm just playing, that's why. But apparently you come and encounter with a ghost train, which you go find where you did the gold bar glitch in the dead.
I was gonna talk about the glitches in the game or some of the tips that people have found.
Yeah.
You know, until they patch it, obviously.
Yeah.
That's cool, there's a ghost train.
But yeah, if you go to that dead town over there, the Leoma.
Uh-huh.
And I guess if you go around in game time, like 3 a.m., you'll be able to encounter the ghost train.
Do you just hear a ghost train?
Well,
or
apparently
from
what I was reading, that your horse starts to freak out, and then all of a sudden you see it come by.
Ooh, cool.
So I'm like, oh, we get the whole Ghostbuster 2 effect
going. Just like Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Winston.
That's all I want to hear, too. It's just like,
I know, you know, you're going to stand on the tracks, too. You know, you got to see what if the ghost train runs you over.
I think I would actually stand on the tracks, yeah.
Yeah.
Just to see if
something
happens.
Just see if it goes through you.
Yeah.
Or if it kills you.
Just get Egon come out of nowhere all of a sudden.
The ghost of Egon, yeah, he's the captain of the train, the conductor.
Right.
And then you come against zombies, which they call them night folks. So they're like rabid, crazy people, really.
Right.
And then there's a mission for a serial killer you hunt down. You find UFO sightings.
That's
cool. Those Easter eggs. And the one that actually got me was vampires.
What?
You can find a vampire in St. Demas. I'm like, no way. I'm going to be like Blade in the Western now.
Wow, a Western version of Blade.
That's insane that they added so much to that game. But that's actually part of the fun of the game is the random encounters that you can run into. Because I've only played it for a couple of hours. So I got to play the mission where you take Lenny to the bar to get drunk.
Yeah.
Which is the highlight so far of the game. Because you get James,
I have not played Red Dead Redemption 2. I haven't bought into the hype. I'm on the beliefs that vault dwellers are greater than cowboys right now. Everybody keeps telling me, you got to get Red Dead. All my social media, I complain about my Fallout 76 issue. Yeah,
going back to the 60s.
Should have went and played Red Dead Redemption 2, stupid. No, I don't want to be a cowboy. I want to be a futuristic vault dweller.
You definitely have the advantage in that Red Dead doesn't have the online yet.
Yeah, well, see, once that happens, I'm probably a little more interested.
Right.
For some reason, I'm more obsessed with the online interactions with people. Like, I'm a troll at heart, so I like messing with people. And I like... I'd like to be a silly cowboy, you know. I'd probably make lots of comments about, let's go be a couple of cowboys eating pudding type stuff, you know. Right.
Like in Fortnite.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're supposed to, I think it's later this month, we're supposed to get Red Dead
online.
Yeah,
later this month we're supposed to get the beta for the online aspect.
But we, when I talked to Al about it, when I played it for the first time, which is a couple of weeks ago, you can download that episode. There was a couple of things that I've run into already that I was like, well, that was hilarious. But anyways, the episode, there's a guy in your camp called Lenny, and he comes back and some stuff has gone on, and the boss is like, take Lenny into town and get him drunk. Like, all right. So you go to the bar, and there's a cutscene where you start doing shots or something like that, and then it goes into like a first-person mode, and you have to find Lenny. He's disappeared on you while you're drinking. So you're stumbling around the bar, and you can press X to go, Lenny! Which is hilarious. And then when you finally find him, you get even more drunk, and then the next time you have to do this, everyone looks like Lenny.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Even the chicks and everything, like, just looks like this black dude.
Right.
That's funny.
And you were, Kenny, you were the one that was telling me that, like, because you're in the saloon, so there's whores upstairs.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You could go upstairs and
I actually walked in on a couple people.
Wow.
He's like, nope, that ain't Lenny.
But they both look like Lenny.
Yeah. Just like, whoa, Lenny's doing Lenny.
Yeah, you're like, man, Lenny, you grew a nice set of knockers, man.
Right.
Some motorboat those babies.
Yeah, but that, you know, like, that's like fourth or fifth mission in the game. So it was, you know, right off the bat, I was like, okay, that was kind of fun.
I was actually in a bar fight in one of the saloons, and I got to throw a guy out the window. I was like, yes, it's complete. I threw somebody out the window, just like in a movie.
You got your cowboy experience.
Like, I literally just grabbed him and just went, all right, bye. Out the window he went, and then next you know, cops are coming. I'm like, okay, time for me to go out the window.
Yeah.
Dude, you lived your John Wayne fantasy there.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here. But there's two specific glitches that people have found that have actually been advantageous. Do you want to talk about the gold bar glitch, Lenny? Lenny! Because you've gotten the gold bar glitch to work.
Lenny thing reminded me of Joe from Impractical Jokers running through the line going, Larry!
Yeah.
The whole time I'm like...
Yeah, he's always yelling Larry. Yeah. Yeah, whenever he's got a name to yell out.
Yeah. I know one glitch I did come across, which it didn't work for me because I know I messed it up. Was if you go to the dead town of Leoma,
right?
You go to the sheriff's office, and as soon as you walk in, the desk is right there. You go behind the desk, there's a lockbox. And once you unlock the lockbox, there's a gold bar and like something for a horse serum. So, and they said if you get that, save it automatically.
Right.
Then reload it so you can keep getting it and supposedly like infinite money that way.
Yeah, when your dude bends down to pick up the gold bar, apparently if you save your game, you're supposed to reload that save, which won't be exactly where you bent down. You'll have to get on your horse and ride back to the town. But once you ride back to the town, the gold bar's there again.
Nice.
And you're supposed to be able to do that like 30-some times. I got it to work like 3 times, which is still a lot of freaking money in cowboy times.
What's
like
a gold bar worth?
Three gold bars.
Oh, 3 gold bars, I don't know.
Like a thousand or something like that, a bar or something like that.
How many pairs of cowboy boots does that buy you?
I don't know. Boots are only like $3 or $4 a piece.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
Especially when I go to the general store or the gunsmith, I'm like buying all the ammo for all my guns and stuff. Like there's 3 different types of ammo. I'm like,
give me the
keep going until I see sold out.
Yeah.
But it's funny, you were talking, you just got to the city, was it St. Dennis?
Dennis.
Right, or St. Denis or however. So apparently somebody on Reddit figured out that there's a spot near St. Denis that every horse spawns.
Really?
And if you like, you go to the spot and there'll be 3 or 4 different breeds of horses. And if they're not the breed you want, just reload your save. It'll spawn 3 completely new breeds. But every single breed of horse spawns in this one area right outside town.
Well, that makes you wonder why that guy's spawning all those different breeds of horses all the time.
Like, yeah, because I lost the horse that I had from the special edition they gave me.
Oh, yeah.
So now I got my original horse. I'm like, what the hell?
So you paid all that money for a special edition horse that is gone?
Right. And I was going to go back to town and go get my horse back. And I was just
luck. You're getting robbed by kids in the city.
I know.
Yeah, well, lost your horse.
The Old West
getting
is
beat up.
The Old West might even be more savage than the Fallout series.
It could be the future of the post-apocalyptic future.
It's gotten ruthless since I've been playing more.
Yeah.
Like, I had to help 2 guys who broke out of jail go into the town that I was in, go steal all these bounty posters for them. had an old guy sitting up against a telephone pole like, nope, I'm leaning here. You ain't getting this poster, you know, blah, 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 this and that. It's like, dude, move or I'm going to break your hip.
You're going to punch an old guy in the face.
So next thing I'm in a fight with him. He's actually owning me. And then after a while, I'm just like, that's it. Like, he was blocking everything I was throwing at him. I'm like, this old guy's like Rocky or something,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's actually an old boxer.
Yeah, and then there's another guy that takes one of the posters that I need. So I have to go tackle him down. I'm like, nope, I'm not running. Bam.
Oh, geez, you just shot him down?
Oh, yeah, I shot him. I was like, you can just going to take off with my poster? No.
Something tells me that you play these games a little bit more evil than I do.
Sometimes, if they deserve it. If they don't, then, like, I'm still trying to find the KKK.
Right. Yeah, that's supposed to be a thing you can find.
I hope that's to take them out, not to try to be recruited.
You can take them out or bring them an offer, but they still shoot at you and everything.
Gotcha. Right.
Two different aspects.
Do you play, like, do you play kind of neutral? Do you play goody-goody?
I usually am a good guy until some event happens in-game that will put me over. Like, in the first game, I talked about when me and Al talked about it. In the first game, near the end of the game, something happens to your character, and you have to play his son.
Uh-huh.
And once I played his son, up to that point, I did everything right. Mm-hmm. I was a good guy or something like that, and then something bad happened to me.
So now you're seeking revenge.
Yeah, when I played his son, I was like, nah, the world is garbage, gotcha. And I'd just shoot anybody. Yeah. The hell with this.
Because when I play those games, I always try to play as if it really is me. Like, what would
exactly.
I decide?
Yeah.
How would I play this? So sometimes I might be a little more evil. Sometimes I might have a little more of a heart for some things.
Right.
But,
if somebody hasn't been like a total jerk to you, then you're like, all right, well, I'm not going to.
Okay, this guy's giving me a fair deal. I know he's a computer and he's just doing what he's programmed to do.
Yeah.
But I'll be nice to this guy. Or, you know.
Like, Until Dawn, it's like if you start being good to this chick, she just takes her clothes off. When you guys are alone.
Oh, well.
Like, I got a PS4. I got that game. Let's try this.
Wow. If only that worked in real life.
Right? It's instead, like, no, I got this. Here's the fire.
Yeah, instead, they're like, oh, I just want to be friends. You're like, oh. Okay.
All right.
I already got friend zone in the game like I do in real life. Great.
You're a big fan of the Fallout series, though.
I'm not hardcore. Like, I don't have, like, a tattoo or anything, but I mean, I played them for a while.
But you played, like, Fallout 3.
Yeah, Fallout 4. I didn't get to spend as much time on Fallout 4 as I would like, just busy with life and, you know, dealing with other, like, just personal drama.
Right.
But, like, Fallout, I get a lot of nostalgia from, because I feel like, you know, when you're living your life, your happiest moments in life, you don't actually realize you're living in the happiest moments.
Right.
Well, I think I played a lot of Fallout 3 during these the happiest moments of my life. I was on my own, in my own apartment, living the bachelor lifestyle, and nobody bugging me about anything, no chores to do. I'd go to work, I'd come home, I'd play Fallout, and I'd watch Netflix, eat pizza. That's what my life was.
Right.
So I think now when I play Fallout 76, it takes me back to the simpler, better,
for sure,
you know, those better happy times.
I think gaming is definitely very, very much nostalgia based. Like, I'm sure about 10 years from now or something like that, you're gonna play some game and be like, man, this is just like PUBG.
I miss yelling at those kids that are so much better at the video game than me. And
like Ready Player One, I think that's gonna happen.
Ready Player One, such a good game. And let's talk about the bar. The bar is a cool bar, too, but the movie, I thought they did a great job with
like
that movie.
Sitting at GameStop, and I'm like telling people, because I noticed something on the Hitman 2 cover was, you know, the evil company, IOI.
Okay.
That's on Hitman 2 cover.
Oh, really?
I was like, everybody's just looking at it, and then they're realizing it, and they're just like, no way. I'm like, I told you it's happening. We're going to be living in stacks in Ohio.
Yeah.
Sliding down your chain from
Hitman
the top.
Hitman 2, the prophecy of Hitman 2 foretold us of this day.
Now, Kenny, have you experienced Fallout 76 yet, or are you guys both pretty much on opposing sides?
I really couldn't get into it. I tried it like from the first one and then tried all the other ones, and it's just, I couldn't get into it. I don't know what it was. I just couldn't get into it.
You play like Skyrim, Elder Scrolls, any of those games?
Like,
okay.
I'm not that much of a big,
man, I love Skyrim. I'm like, what?
How do you,
What's the difference, man? Instead of being in, you know, medieval times with magic and dragons, you're just in the future.
Right, it's just the same.
You still have crazy monsters. You know, there's still weird stuff that's going to be in this game. And that's what I like about the Fallout series. It's like a medieval RPG, but in futuristic times. So you still have weird quests and weird beasts you have to slay. It's just, instead of using a sword, you're using a machete or you're using some sort of like a ray gun, you know?
That was whenever I would sit down and play tabletop games with friends when they want to play D&D or something like that. It would, like, if there was a modern day version of D&D, I was like, can we play that? Can we play like Shadowrun? Because that's fun. There's like guns and cyberware and stuff in there. Like, I'm cool with that, but I don't need to
roll the 20. Yeah, shot you with my ray gun.
Right. Right. But I had a similar experience to Kenny. I played Fallout 3 and I think I played New Vegas. And in both of them, like, once I got out of the vault, I didn't know what to do next.
Yeah.
It was overwhelming.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. So like when I first got Fallout 3, I played it, I got out of the vault, and then I was like, I don't know what to do next. You know, I think I found Megaton, and then like after I did everything I needed to do in Megaton, I was like, what's next?
Right,
and
now what?
Yeah, no matter where I would go, because they don't give you any direction. I mean, they kind of give you direction, but they don't tell you specifically here's what you need to do. So I'd just venture into areas that I'm such a low level, I'm just getting smoked by the computer.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, something's not right. Either I'm just the worst at video games, or I'm not doing something right. So I'd stop playing it. And then once I moved into my apartment by myself, I'm like, I'd love it. Just a real good RPG game to play. And everybody's like, Fallout 3, that's the game. That's the game you're looking for. And I'm like, I don't know. I tried it. So I bought a strategy guide on eBay for like $5.
Okay.
And then it pointed me where I needed to go. And from then on, I was just emerged in Fallout 3. I was like, I love this game.
And I feel like that's probably what I needed. Because like I said, I got out of the vault and I think I was supposed to take a left to go to Megaton. And instead I took a right because that was the closest building I could see.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I knew, I was overwhelmed. I was just carrying too much stuff.
Oh, you know, 90% of my life in the Fallout franchise, I'm the over-encumbered man. I'm walking super slow. I can't fast travel. I'm dumping junk in drawers and hoping I can come back and I'm still going to find it. The computer doesn't glitch out.
My friends would use me as like, here, pick this up for me. Okay, what am I going to get, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry, dude. You'll get hooked up. It's like, all right, am I getting something or whatever? Because I'm fighting zombies bare hand here.
Just hold on to that power armor. Just hold on to power armor.
I'm going to play Destiny. I'm done.
Right. At the very least, they could have given you a pool cue with some barbed wire on it.
Yeah, you need to find some radio station listeners that know you.
There you go.
They'll hook you up with all the goods.
Well, hopefully you'll start getting people saying, hey, I love you on Nerd Radio.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Fallout with you. Do you want to give out your Twitch stream or your Xbox Live?
Absolutely, yeah. You can watch me on Twitch. I'm usually on Friday afternoons. It's twitch.tv/whoTheFIsJC. And it's also my gamer tag on Xbox Live is WhoTheFIsJC. So feel free to add me. You want to send me a message as long as I'm not in stream. You know, I try to respond to everybody. And I'm usually pretty nice. As long as they're respectful to me online, like I'll return it with just as much respect, if not more. So,
all right, Kenny. And where are people going to, once we can play together in Red Dead Redemption, where are people going to be able to link up with you on the PlayStation?
Right now on Xbox, they can find me.
Paintball, oh, you're on the Xbox
Kenny.
Too?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yep. Paintball Kenny, capital P, capital B, space, Kenny. And yeah, that's where you can find me and hang out. I finally got back into PUBG too.
Oh, nice.
Had to shake off that rust and yeah, I was owning quite a few people with all the new guns they finally added.
We need to go hunting for a chicken dinner together, man.
Oh, yeah.
See, there you go.
Yeah. Let's go get us a chicken dinner, man.
It's been a while and I was owning people. It was awesome.
Not me. I'm probably the one you're getting you're owning.
Trapping people
using this paintball Kenny guy keeps killing me.
Using the care package as bait.
Yeah. I'm like, man, I got a bulletproof vest and a crazy helmet and no pants on and a machine gun and I keep getting smoked. And it's Kenny.
I'll tell you what, the whole the queuing up the taxi theme. I know the taxi theme. I never thought of it before, but the last time I got angry at games, I just kind of queued it up. I was like, oh, that is refreshing.
Dude, yeah, a lot of people have responded to that because some of the people listening to radio might not realize. Like, I have some anger issues. I've broken my hand punching a refrigerator and a fit of rage and things like that. But I've discovered trying to find like some old school pillow talk music.
Right.
I stumbled across the taxi theme. Well, you know, the real name of the song or whatever. It's like Angela or something. But, and I became so relaxed. It took me back to a childhood, like being in the back seat of my parents' car, driving home from the grocery store, you know? And I was like, oh man, I'm just so calm and relaxed now. And now we play it. Anytime I start to go on a bit of a rage, everybody's like, cue up the taxi theme.
Yep. See, there you go.
So,
all right. Well, thank you guys for coming into Nerd Radio this week. We're going to come back in just a minute. I got Kyle coming in. We're going to talk some trading card games. So we're coming back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Nerd Radio.
Okay, magic cards, go.
Magic cards. They're pieces of cardboard. Okay. And you play them on the ground, and people play cards against you. And first one to go down to 20 wins from 20.
All right, thanks for listening to Nerd Radio. And we out.
That's all we got.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on your podcast page. Actually, wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on the social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck Bean, and I'm joined, to end the show this week by my good buddy KG.
GK.
I knew I was going to get it wrong. I knew it. I was trying so hard.
You can say Kyle, too. It's fine.
It's Kyle. But I was, I was trying to use your nickname, man. It's GK, Ginger Kyle. The hell's wrong with me? How the heck you been, Kyle?
Not bad. Playing lots of Heroes of the Storm lately.
Yeah, we were both very excited about the new hero. I haven't got to play her, but I've gotten to play with people who are playing her, and I really like what I see.
Oh, yeah. She's off the wall bonkers nuts. She's a little, as my friends say, overtuned, but that's okay. I think it's smart of a developer to release a super powerful character.
Right. It's a little bit like Magic the Gathering or something like that. Like, when it first comes out, it's like, oh, crap, that's a little more powerful than we expected. And then you just tune them back to...
Exactly, which is how it always should be.
Yeah, because that way you're really excited about the new thing. Yeah, it's really cool.
But she's fun. I like her. It's surprisingly, I've been playing all week, and I don't know how many loot boxes I've opened, but it's funny. Last night I was laughing. I'm like, how did I unlock Diablo? Like, because you know how, you have a free rotation of heroes. I'm like, right. Well, I never unlocked Diablo, and he wasn't a character I played before. Why is he unlocked right now? And I'm like looking. I'm like, I didn't use any gold. I'm like, I must have got him in a loot box and thought it was a skin or something.
So
I'm like,
whatever. Didn't realize it.
So, but I've been playing him now. I got him up to level 5. I'm like, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's all right. I think I actually have him, and I enjoy him a lot. I still support and specialist. Like, if I'm not playing the girl in the tank, then I'm playing what's his face from Diablo that throws the potions.
Oh, Nazebo?
Yeah. And, like, my aggro class is the monk, who's supposed to be a support class, but, like, he just does so much damage.
He does.
Like, those are my three. Those are my top three mains.
Yeah, well, if you ever need a good tank brawler, apparently I'm the guy.
Yeah.
I'm good with a Nubarak and
that's your
Blaze.
Specialist class. Talking about that type of game, though, I wanted to get with you because you're technically my League of Legends guy.
Yeah, exactly.
If I see something League of Legends, then I'm like, Kyle, what's this all about? The last couple of weeks, they've been airing this commercial during SmackDown when I watch my wrestling, and it's for League of Legends, but it's essentially like they commissioned an anime studio to make this League of Legends commercial. And the first couple of times I didn't remember that it was a League of Legends commercial. I was like, what anime bullshit is this?
So, I do not watch wrestling. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
But,
it's not for everyone.
But I have seen lots of animated shorts and commercials featuring different stars from League of Legends, like Double Lift and some of the other famous streamers, as well as Gordon Hayward, who was a basketball player, I believe.
And,
okay. And that kind of rolls into this whole wrestling thing, is that not only has Riot been amping up their marketing,
absolutely,
trying to deter us from certain things happening with the company.
Right.
Go look them up. I'm sure you know. But
Google Riot Games, yeah, and you'll see some of the stories.
Use the Googler. It tells you lots. This is so cool. They're taking some of the biggest league players in the world, not necessarily the pros, but we're talking about probably the most infamous League of Legends player ever, LOL Tyler 1.
Mm-hmm.
He's an angry, muscled-up man who just shouts in the microphone. He was banned for a very long time. And then I believe I saw in the picture, I'm a cutie pie.
Yeah.
Who's kind of a long-haired, hippie-looking guy who's got, like, he talks really nerdy and
sure,
funny. But so I thought this was cool, and they were the heads of two little all-star teams?
That's what I was going to tell you, is that at first I was like, why is there legal? Like, okay, it makes sense, I guess. Wrestling, anime, you know, it's a Nerd Radio thing, so it's something that I'm interested in, all these things. But I'm like, where are these League of Legends commercials coming from? And then they had their Survivor Series event over the weekend, and they had video of this, like, tournament with the two players you're talking about heading up two teams of, like, one was just the WWE superstars, one was their NXT superstars, which is kind of like their... you start in NXT, and then when you're good enough, you come up to the Raw or SmackDown kind of thing. And NXT blew away the WWE guys.
Yeah, oh, I believe it.
There were a couple of NXT talents who either very quickly picked up the game or were already big fans and good at this.
You know what's funny though, and I've learned this just over like, not to get into politics, but one of the new senators, I think it's a senator that got elected. I think she's a woman. And she's Hispanic, super, super cool lady, but she's a League of Legends player.
That's awesome.
Like, she literally said, yeah, once everything dies down, I'm going to go back to being, you know, bronze five and trying to move up a rank.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is so cool. We have a politician that's like, oh yeah, by the way, I play League of Legends. I'm like, she has my vote. That's cool.
You don't even know her policies.
Yeah. Oh, her policies are pretty cool, but, she won New York. So, fans, if you're listening, you know who it is, I'm sure. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But still, wrestling, League of Legends, anime, I love it. You know,
We just got done with YumaCon, and you know, there's always a League of Legends tournament going on there. There's always computers with League of Legends set up on them.
Exactly. So, you know, and fun fact, Riot Games is inking a series with Marvel Comics for League of Legends, and I saw some of the.
That's one of those things. I'm surprised there hasn't been a League of Legends comic already.
I know, right? Like, they do a lot of lore,
yeah,
and it's really super cool. But man, like that, I watched a little bit. You told me about this wrestling thing, with the gamer with the streamers and the guys from NXT and WWE, and I'm
right.
So I checked out a little bit of the video footage, and it was super fun to watch.
It was, oh, totally.
And, well, congratulations to the NXT guys for smoking the WWE.
Yeah,
talk about the rookies taking over.
Yeah, there's the one wrestler, Xavier Woods, that has a YouTube show called Up, Up, Down, Down, where he just plays games. He's a huge gamer, and he just plays games with any of the wrestlers. Some of them are very experienced in games, and just surprisingly, you're like, oh my god, this person's a huge nerd. I would never have guessed.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them, you know, haven't played a video game since Pong. But they're having a good time, man. He's building bridges.
Yeah,
thanks to gaming.
I love seeing that. I actually, it's funny. Speaking of that, there's also, I saw something on YouTube last night. Do you know who Joe Manganiello is?
No.
Okay, Joe Manganiello at the end of Justice League was on the boat and he was Slade Wilson.
Okay. Yes.
You remember the Justice League movie?
Yes.
With Luther, I believe.
Yep.
So that's Joe Manganiello. Fans, if you know True Blood, he was the werewolf that Sookie fell for. But yeah, he's cool, and he's also married to Sofia Vergara.
Okay,
so that guy, he's super buff, rugged guy, half of Hollywood. but he actually started playing Magic the Gathering in the 90s, stopped for a little while, and now he's still playing it to this day.
I think I heard about this. This is so cool. Yeah,
like we have a bunch of NFL players and Hollywood stars that played. A TCG, I love it.
Yeah, no, it's
fantastic.
Widespread. It's absolutely widespread. Well, speaking of trading card games, you were telling me about a game that you're super excited about.
Yes.
And I can't wait to hear about this. Like, so, you just dropped the name of it on me and then gave me a brief, like, this is what it's about. And I'm like, tell me more.
Yeah.
This sounds fascinating.
I only know what I've read and what I've heard and what I've seen on YouTube. But so, Magic the Gathering fans, Richard Garfield is a name that you probably are well affiliated
the
with
creator
the
of
creator
the
of Magic and many
day.
More. He just helped build Valve's Artifact game on Steam, and then now he's got this game called Keyforge. It is the world's first unique deck game.
So it's not a
collectible.
TCG. It's not a collectible card game.
It's collectible, but you can't trade any of the cards because they won't have any meaning outside the deck you buy. So what I mean by that is that when you go to a card shop and you buy a Keyforge deck only works with the cards in it. You can't swap them out for other cards. You can't trade for other cards. Those cards in that deck are specific to that deck only, and you play with only those.
Okay.
So if you buy another deck, same thing. and it's super cool, and it kind of curbs the, hey, this card is $50 bajillion, and, you know, I need four of them for my deck. Well, now you have this deck that only plays a certain way, and you've got three, you've got many houses, which are like clans or guilds. So equate it to Ravnica, if you will.
Sure.
And they all have, they all do different things, but each deck comes with three of these houses, and you, there's different strategies, and you kind of got to learn it over time. But essentially, you have to collect these amber tokens, and when you get enough amber at the beginning of your next turn, you make a key.
Okay.
You make a seal or something, and then you put the token in play, and when you get three of them, you win because you get the key to unlock. It's super cool.
I'm full of questions already.
I know. It's so am I. It's so mysterious. And
so
I'm,
it's a, you said it's a unique card game, or
yes,
a unique thing. So it only comes in starter decks, essentially.
Yes. So when you go to a store, you pay the money for the, I think they're $10
okay,
flat. You go to the store, you buy the deck. The deck will come in, you know, packaging, and it won't tell you what's inside it at all.
Okay.
You just, you're literally buying a deck that is like a giant booster pack of 37 cards.
So that answers one of my questions. Is that, you know, if they're all supposed to be unique decks, then you don't really, you know, like it's almost like buying an old, you know, back in the 90s, what would they call them now? But they were starter decks then.
Yeah.
You just got 75 cards and they were just whatever they were.
Correct.
When it came to Magic the Gathering.
Yep.
How do they curb you from actually mixing the cards? Like, is there a watermark somewhere on the cards?
So on the front and back of each of the cards and the decks you get, there is watermarks, and it says, you know, some of the names are kind of long and weird, but some of them are simplistic, but like, let's say Gaia, Triumph of Earth, and then let's say, so that's your deck and that's your theme, but that Gaia, Triumph of Earth, the name will be on the front and back of each one of those cards in the deck you get.
Okay.
And you can't mix and match them with other cards from other decks. All the 37 cards in that deck, it's what you get, that's what you play with. And then if you buy another deck, same thing. So you can't, like I said, you can't mix and match. This is your first deck, this is your second deck, this is your third deck, fourth deck, like, and those are the four you play. Can't mix and match them. There you go.
Okay. Now, as far as the decks being unique, there's a like a set essentially of cards, right? Like let's say there's 100 cards in the set, kind of thing. So the way they're actually making it unique is like your deck might have two of, you know, card X, but mine only has one.
Yeah,
kind of thing, like
stuff like that. But so they're using it's from Fantasy Flight Games. I don't know if you're familiar with Fantasy Flight.
Most of their stuff is very technical and very expensive.
Yes. Because
usually, like, their board games are just like, the box is huge. Mm-hmm. It comes with 1,000 pieces.
But they have, the card game is made using many different algorithms.
Okay.
So you have a computer just cranking out these ideas along with the actual developers of the card game. So
there could, in theory, there could be two decks that are identical down to one card.
Possibly, but the way they say is that, the way they came out and said is that every deck is going to be unique to that deck. It'll be the only deck like it in the world, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's cool.
As a card gamer, doesn't it stand to reason that me and you go and buy a deck? I buy a deck and you buy a deck. Doesn't it stand to reason that there's going to be decks that are way more powerful than other ones?
So valid point, because I saw an article the other day, last week, beginning of this past weekend, that said that there are Keyforge decks that are already selling for like $200 on eBay.
So I'm somebody like, opened it, they saw what's in there,
yeah,
and then they put it on eBay, said, check this out.
Check this out. And apparently some of the best cards are the Four Horsemen cards.
Okay.
Which, if it's a Four Horsemen, of course it's going to be powerful. You're naming it after the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. But so I was like, kind of like baffled. I'm like, we have this card game that it just came out and people are like, oh yeah, you want this deck? too bad, so sad, $200 or you can't have it. And I'm like, way to scumbag the world.
Welcome to capitalism.
I know. So, but Fantasy Flight and Richard Garfield came out and they said, you're like, we want to curb, we want new and old players of card games to really like this, and we really want it to kind of be like, this is your deck. You spent the money on it. This is what you get. If it's super powerful, cool, but there could be essentially every deck could break the game. But at what point does it break the game?
Right, but at the same time, like I'm saying, like you could also
have the crappiest deck in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like that's the thing too, is from a you know, money-making standpoint, like if there's no combining the cards and there's no buying boosters to make your card, your, you know, it subverts the business model of collectible card games.
And I think that's why they wanted to kind of combat the secondary market of making.
Sure, and that's fascinating, but like how do they make me and you want to continue to give them money?
Like, I know.
What if I buy, you know, spend $10 and get that deck that's, you know, worth $200? Like, I never have to buy another deck. I'm done.
Until maybe they come out with another set where maybe your deck isn't as powerful. Or maybe they say,
and then that deck
by
is...
the way, we noticed that these cards are too powerful and somehow they ban them. So now you got to go out and buy another deck.
Well, and then that deck is worthless. And yeah. Like, I can't take cards out of it and make a better deck. It's just, I might as well set it on fire.
This is true. So I'm interested to see what goes on here.
Trust me, I'm not trying to
get
all over it, you know.
Right.
But I like it in theory, but I'm really interested to see if it works in practice.
Yeah, so I guess we'll find out in a couple months and see if it's going to hold its own or not. But
do you know where can people find out more about KeyForge online?
Well,
do they have a website?
You can go to fantasyflightgames.com and just type in KeyForge. It'll be all over the webpage, I'm sure.
Okay.
Or you can go to KeyForge.com and learn about it. You can also visit your local game stores as well, like Time Travelers, Gamers Gauntlet, Sundance.
Yeah, that's all like,
Guild of Blades, all local stores in the area. And then, hey, if you're listening from outside the mitten, let me tell you, just look up your local game store, wherever your card game shop is. They might have a couple decks.
For sure.
Buy it. Try it out.
Well, it sounds fascinating, man.
I know.
Maybe we'll have to get a couple of decks and try it out here.
Absolutely.
On the show at some point.
Which reminds me, speaking of card games, just like you said, I got to try out this Transformers card game.
Oh, it's so fun.
Because it looks amazing.
Yeah, the game itself is real good, but the distribution of cards in the packs is
That's
really
what
bad.
You said. It was
really
pretty
bad.
Rough.
It's nasty. They did just release some additional ways to play the game, like a league play or draft play or something like that.
Okay.
They have official rules on how that stuff works. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll definitely have to check that out. One last thing before I let you go, because I know we're both Switch users, Nintendo Switch users. Pokemon Let's Go?
I opted out. I gave myself an option of what am I going to do with my Switch this fall. I've had my Switch for almost a year. And I still haven't beaten Super Mario Odyssey. Still haven't beat Zelda.
Those games are huge.
You know, but I have them. I have all like the big games. But I'm definitely leaning more towards the awesomeness that will be Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Sure.
Just because it's got some characters I just want to play in a fighting game.
Yeah.
In a brawl game
it's
like that.
Like every Smash Brothers character you can ever imagine.
But Pokemon Let's Go, those games, they look fantastic, cool. You know, maybe I might get one. If I want to play Pokemon, I'll just, you know, play Pokemon Sun or I'll play Pokemon Go. But I know that Nintendo and Game Freak are working on a brand new Pokemon game. So
yeah,
that
sure.
one I will get. I'm not going to get these ones because it's just kind of like I don't mind the grind and the breeding and all that.
Right.
That's what makes the game kind of fun.
Well, I picked it up and I'll tell you about it maybe next time we have it in the show.
Because
I've only gotten a couple hours into it, but I can give you all the dirt.
Tell me, Sensei.
All right, Kyle, thanks for coming in. That's going to do it for this week's Nerd Radio again. Find you on Twitch at
You can go to twitch.tv/Acklyte. That's AKILYT. T-E.
And of course, join us back here wherever you get your podcast next week for another Nerd Radio. And follow us all over social media at Nerd Radio 101.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
I mean, there's some unique perspectives you could bring to it anyway. Just because you don't know
like,
anything
it's
about
just like
it.
Having you hang out for a
Jefferson
comic.
Called me unique.
It's
I
like
did.
Having you hang out for a comic
uniquely
segment.
Awful
you might have something,
something
to point out that we hadn't thought of.
Yeah.
Uniquely awful. Jesus. I heard that.
Unique is not necessarily a good thing. All
I
right?
was completing my thought, but I was listening. I heard that. Mm. Woo.
You know what? Fuck you guys. I'm out.
All right. That's fair.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.